All right, this is Jared Rogers Martin with the SC Wild Podcast. I'm sitting here with Glenn. How you doing, Glenn?
I am good. How are you, sir?
Now, Glenn, I'm doing all right. You know, you and I have got this summer business coming up, so that means that there's a lot of outdoor activities going on with the DNR. So things are starting to heat up for the two of us schedule-wise.
Just a little bit.
I was going on to investigate the fishing rodeo season. Someone told me you got to ride fishes at fishing rodeos, so I had to go check that out for myself. I learned that was not the case.
Not at all. There were probably a few catfish in the state that would give you a ride, but it wouldn't be a very good one, so it's not worth the trouble.
Yeah, well, you know, you could have told me that ahead of time before I drove out to Brosnan Forest, where I did get a chance not to write a catfish as much as I would have liked to. But I got some great fishing advice, some from young kids out there. But before we go talk to the kids, what is the fishing rodeo with the DNR? What do you do? Why does the DNR put these on?
We want to expose as many kids in the state as we can to fishing. And we've discovered that one of the really great ways to do it is to hold family fishing rodeos for kids to come out to either some of our properties or other landowners or businesses will sponsor fishing rodeos on their properties. And you take your kids out there, we hand them a pole with a line on it and some worms, all of it's provided, and they go catch a fish and they get pretty darn excited.
Yeah, well, here's Jason and his brother, Silas, telling me exactly play-by-play how they got their fish.
When I first hooked it, it was pretty hard to pull it up. I had to fight it a little, started swimming out, and swimming, and swimming, and swimming. It was fighting hard, really hard.
Like it was a gator hard?
Yeah.
And how many fish are you going to get today?
Well, I caught three already.
Caught three already? What kind of fish did you get?
I caught a bass and a baby herring. This one's a keeper.
Are you fishing too, Silas?
I caught a little teddy fish.
No, that was pretty representative. It was just, I would talk to one person and then little brothers or little sisters would come telling me about their big fish that they got, or at least the little fish from Silas.
Oh, that little little guy sounded only slightly bigger than the little fish he managed to catch.
You know, I think they were probably about the same size. I mean, he was a little pipsqueak. Silas, not the fish. Well, the fish was small, too. Although, are you a big fisherman?
I am not. You know, and I feel so bad about it because it was the South Carolina Wildlife and Marine Resources Department when I first came on there and later changed the name to the Department of Natural Resources. But I think I was the only one hired the year that I was hired that did not either hunt or fish. So I was playing catch up for quite a while, and I'm still not real good at either. But being around it that much, I got the basics down.
The basics? Well, I've got the basics pretty down pat, but Ryan, she caught four fishes that day. And that was more than most people were catching. I mean, she had only been out there for about 30 minutes, caught four fish, which was great odds.
The fish whisperer.
Ask me. Well, you know what? I wanted to go to her dad, Jimmy, to ask him what their family secret was to catch fish.
I can't tell you that, man. You want me to post that on the radio and stuff for everybody to hear? No, we ain't giving up our secrets for fishing. Sorry.
But y'all do have a family secret.
Yes, we got a family secret going on. All right, I'll tell you one thing. You got to lick the worm before you put it on the hook.
Ew.
Ryan's been licking them all day long today, haven't you?
No.
That was mostly just what it was. It was just a blast being out there hanging out. Everyone was having a good time.
Well, you know, the kids go out there, and if it's the first time they've ever been fishing, of course, they get a big thrill because chances are they're going to catch a fish. I mean, we set it up so that they can have the excitement of catching a fish. But the parents are out there, and they get just a kick out of seeing their kids have a really good time.
It was a pretty, like, laid-back environment, I would say. The parents were just kind of there. The kids were running the show.
Oh, yeah.
It was the parents' involvement.
Well, it gives that appearance, I'm sure. I'm sure someone was in charge somewhere.
we actually did talk to a couple kids who took issue with how much in charge the parents were. I mean, they were catching all of the fish, but they were upset that we had to take them back. Well, first in this cut, we're going to hear from Dean, who just wanted to tell me about all the different types of fish he knows how to catch.
Right now, my tactic, and probably his too, we're going for the shade because that seems to be where they are. So me and my friend, Tarleton, we're fishing with worms. and they seem to be working pretty well.
What kind of fish are you getting?
Brim, catfish, bass.
What do those kinds of fish look like? How can you tell the difference?
Brim, it has sort of a spike type thing on his back.
Does it spike you if you touch it?
Sometimes. Most of the times, actually. They have sometimes light colors.
What does a catfish look like? And you can get in here, too.
Catfish has whiskers, obviously, about an inch when its mouth is fully open. And really, that's all I can describe of it.
And which one's the most fun to catch?
I don't know. Catfish.
The catfish is the best?
In my opinion, the funnest ones to catch are when they're like wiggling around.
I like to catch all of them.
My favorite fish to catch is probably the catfish.
I like the fish that swim.
Yeah, there you go.
To me, that's pretty obvious. But I'm sort of disappointed.
Why are you disappointed?
We are not taking home zero fish.
Why are you not taking any fish?
And we've caught like around 5 fish already. Every single one, bloop, back in the pond.
Are you going to clean them? And why aren't you taking them home?
I don't know that. You have to ask Mr. Eric, Dean's dad.
Okay, well, let's interview him then. You can do it.
Why can't we take home a fish?
Because today I'm just teaching you guys how to fish, and it's just catch and release day to day.
When are we going to have some fish taking home?
Very soon.
I can't really ask any more questions about that, but okay.
I say, Jared, when you fish, do you use a certain tactic while as you approach the shade where the fish are?
I do. I make sure that I have my worm on my hat, on my hook, and then my hat on my head as I approach. So I, too, may be in the shade, like the fish.
That was great. Oh, my goodness. And we get, you know, we're not only getting these kids outdoors, which is what we want, but we're getting them interested in the resource. And, you know, that's our bread and butter. So, we want kids... We want kids outside.
Well, it wasn't the kids that were only excited. Now, what would be a day out in the field without getting one of those great marketing quips?
Hit me, Jared.
Hit you? I'll hit you. Stephanie, unprompted, just says, hey, you know, and you've talked to my kids, but I just want to say something about the DNR. So she has a message to you. Well, not specifically you, Glenn. I don't think she knows who you are.
I'll get over it.
DNR has taught us so much and encouraged us a lot to keep getting outdoors with all their events. And everybody working there, I wish I could remember the guys' names, were so patient and so kind to the boys and just taught us a lot about the biology and the engineering and the science behind the dam. The hook doesn't slap us in the face. But at the same time, I was really surprised they told us all about their science degrees. A lot of them had marine biology degrees and how they travel around and what they're doing. And they're just so purposeful in everything that they're doing to conserve. We just love it. We don't really see them just running around wanting to hand out tickets. We really see that there's a reason and a purpose behind what they're doing.
Thank you very much, Stephanie. That's the nail on the head for us, and we appreciate it, and we're glad you brought your kids out that day.
You've got a full list of everything that you can come up with in the rest of the state for the DNR.
It's several things to really just be aware of. Everybody's going to be headed outside for warm weather in South Carolina, especially here in the spring before it gets too doggone hot in late June and July. So there's just a couple of things that we want you to keep in mind, especially as you head toward the coast. The turtle nesting has already begun. The first turtle nest of the season occurred on April 30th at Isle of Palms, which is incredibly early. early for nesting to occur. But everybody down there, especially all the volunteers, we have a great group of volunteers all up and down the coast that work with the turtle program to keep an eye on things. And what they do is they'll go out on their assigned beaches every morning and look for the telltale tracks of the turtle coming in. They'll find the nest site, determine whether it's in a safe place, and if necessary, relocate the nest to higher ground so that it doesn't get washed over from high tides or anything like that. But last year was a huge year in South Carolina. In 2016, we had a total of 6,444 loggerhead nests. And that's a fabulous number. And that number has been on the increase for years. And we feel like it's in good part, a great part of that is because we got so many people that are concerned about the loggerheads as they come in and nest. So,
is that open volunteers? Or do you need to go anywhere?
It's an organized group, and it's usually people who live near the beach, and each area has a list of assigned volunteers. And the best way to go about maybe getting with one of those groups is to go to the DNR website and just in the search area put in loggerhead sea turtles, and that will take you to the sea turtle part of our website, and you can just find out more information from there. So the moral of the loggerhead story here is when you're at the beach, especially if you're walking on the beach at night, please be very, very aware, especially as we get into the season, that you may have female sea turtles coming in to nest. Later in the season, like more into July and August, you may have baby sea turtles hatching out, which is a sight to see. But most of that happens in the middle of the night, early morning. So unless you're just out there incredibly late at night, you're not likely to see these things. But if you are, please be aware and don't interfere in any way. Also, when you're on the coast, again, not only is it sea turtle nesting season, but it's coastal birds are nesting on a lot of our barrier islands this time of year. Now, keep in mind that some of these shorebirds fly round trip from the Arctic of Canada to the southern tip of South America each year, and that's about 20,000 miles. So the last thing that you want to do when they're laying over here in South Carolina is disturb them, because they're only halfway through the trip, folks. You just need to give them a break. So if you visit some of the barrier islands and you are aware of seabirds nesting there, give them a wide berth. If you've got a dog with you, we really would prefer that you not take your dog onto these barrier islands. But if you do, please, 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 please make sure they are on a leash, because what do dogs love to do? They love to chase things, and that will completely disrupt the nesting activity of a lot of these birds. Some areas that are very heavily filled with birds, we've got signs up asking you not to go in there. And again, that's all for very good reason, because these birds really are skittish, and you don't want to scare them off the nest. Some nests are just sitting there on the sand, and if you're not paying attention, you could very easily step on one of those, and you don't want to do that either. So be alert, and don't feed any of the gulls or leave trash on the beach, because sometimes these birds just pick something up thinking it's food, just like, you know, sometimes sea turtles do, which is why we ask you not to throw plastic in the ocean. So don't leave anything out there that looks like food. Don't leave anything out there at all, except, what does the poster say? Leave nothing but footprints.
Yeah, keep it clean.
Yeah.
Leave no trace.
And we'd be remiss if we were doing an update about summer activities with the DNR if we didn't mention at least one hunting season. So the WMA season applications for the 2017 public alligator hunting is available as of May 1st, which is now. And the application deadline is June 15th, so you're going to want to jump on that pretty quick. Now, it's estimated that we've got more than 100,000 alligators in South Carolina, and last year only 394 were harvested. So we've got a good number of alligators out there still available for the 2017 season.
And the fun thing about alligator hunting is it's not hunting with a rifle. You're catching them with a hook.
You are there. There is a list of requirements, just as there is with any kind of animal that you harvest.
It almost sounds podcast worthy.
Maybe so. Well, the season is actually in September, so you've got plenty of time to think about it and get ready. But the requirements and the recommendations for alligator hunting, because an alligator up close, and that's what you got to be, is nothing to mess around with. And I'll be honest, I've seen some people that get so excited, they do very stupid things, and we don't want to be talking about anybody that does anything stupid, just to learn a lesson from it. So be aware of all the rules and regulations regarding alligator season, and be ready.
And we'll go get some more information for you on that. But if you don't hear from us in a couple weeks, that's because we may have gotten too close to one of those alligators while we were learning.
DNR.sc.gov will get you all the answers you need.
All right. Well, that's all we've got for this week. Glenn, thank you for stopping by, as always.
Always a pleasure.
All right. And have fun with your summer. Avoid the alligators.
And the ticks and the mosquitoes. And it's incidentally, before I let Jared wrap up, it's going to be a bad season for ticks. So take all the precautions that you need to. There's also probably going to be more activity with the snake population in South Carolina this year because it was such a warm winter. So when you are outside and you're in a wooded area, please be aware of ticks and snakes and take all the necessary precautions.
We are really frightening people as we leave here.
It's the outdoors, man. Yeah, but you got to get dirty to have fun.
Boo. Have fun out there. All right. That's it for the SC Wild podcast. We will see you in a couple weeks next week. We'll see you next time. Bye. Bye.